Hello, good people. How you doing? This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for coming to my website. Thought that I'd do a webcast. Haven't done one in a few days. All is well with me. Just thought that I'd check in and let you know how I'm doing. Doing fine, just bored. Watching a little bit too much TV. Need to get up and exercise more. Picked up my 25-pound dumbbells and did a little workout, so my muscles are aching a little bit, but I'm doing all right. Just thought that I'd come on and tell you that I'm going to get with the program. I'm going to finally take the vaccine. Go ahead and get it done. Not because I'm sick or anything. I had a little run-in with diarrhea yesterday, but I know what happened because of what I eat. It's how I eat. I can't eat the kind of meats that I find myself eating. And when I eat those meats, it makes me terribly ill. And so I'm going to stop doing that. And I didn't feel like anything but good hot tea and some light food tonight. And I wanted to do that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about my old school ramblings. You know, it really gets on my nerves when people try to attack me because I'm old, and for some reason they think that old people are incapable of thinking logically about the things that is confronting most of us in this day and era. You know, like, well, John, what do you know about this, and what do you know about that? I want to share a little bit what I was thinking about doing, because I was thinking about talking with you guys about absoluteness, and because I don't think that this culture today believes in the absolute reasoning of seniors. You know, we think in terms of absolutes, and that is those of us that still has our thinking capacity are still intact. I know that when you get old, you change. Things change. You view your world differently. You don't confront the society the way you used to confront it before. I'm aware of that. I'm just speaking as an older man. I was telling a friend of mine over the phone yesterday that most of my contemporaries, meaning that the people that I grew up with, the people that were living in my day and age, are gone. They're gone. People my age, down the street from me, Joseph Wright, he went to Fremont with me. He just watched his sister die. And, you know, people get sick and I don't know what, something and just die. I know that that's going to happen to me. I don't have any fear behind it. I have a lot of questions behind it about how and why. And those are normative questions that I ask myself. But really no real thoughts about that. Becoming a senior citizen and living through that and still trying to keep my house up, because I have plans on keeping my house in good shape. I want to keep it in very good shape. I don't like the way my house is looking at times, and so I have to put forth more of an effort to keep my house on the cutting edge. And that takes money, time, thought, absoluteness about what you're going to do. I'm going to take the grass up. I want to put some rocks and some flowers in. And I just love the way you can do a Southern California front lawn now. And I want to fix up my patio room and so that I can start having friends come by again. And we can just have conversations in the back. Share a nice glass of wine, and hang out with people. I miss that. That's been gone a whole year. Not helping anybody do anything these days. I'm too busy attempting to enjoy my life where I am right now. But I don't like being attacked by the younger people thinking that because my hair is white and I walk with a limp, or I may be slower, or I may run out of energy before others do. Oh, I see my mic is getting ready to act up a little bit, so I better cut this short. That's why I thought that I'd come and I'd say something. Don't feel like playing any music today. The month is about over. April is getting ready to start. We're going into another month. And April, Lord willing, will be the month that I get my COVID vaccination. I'll call them tomorrow. Make an appointment. I could have gotten it done. Mostly everybody is getting it. They don't care about what's in the vaccine. I do. It bothers me somewhat. But I can't be responsible for that. I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, I got an option. Either I can take it and get on board with everybody else, and I feel like I'm shortchanging myself. I'm compromising my ideas and my beliefs because I'm not afraid of COVID. A lot of people tell me that I should be, but I don't know why. And I'll tell you why. Now, I'm kind of old-fashioned with this, but I'm not going to take it to the degree that Kane, the black millionaire, did, because when he wouldn't wear a mask and went to the rallies, COVID killed him quick. And I've seen a lot of other people get that virus and drop behind it. I don't want to drop like that. I want to live till I'm 100. So I'm going to go get it and follow protocol, follow the rules like everyone else. Okay, now that should make my family happy, and I think I'll call them and let them know that I made up my mind. I'm getting tired of fighting the power, I guess you can say that. Hey, listen, I want to thank those of you that's been coming to my website, listening to my views. I am very serious about some of the things that, well, all of the things that I'm talking about, really. And I think that we need to take a very close look at our own spirituality in our own time zone that we're living in. Hey, listen, I pray that God will continue to shine bright in your life. And thumbs up for the young people, especially, you know, and I'm watching the trial. Oh, my God. Man, this was a real first day of the testimony that Mr. Williams had testified. That was some strong testimony. And I think the strongest part of his testimony is when he said he looked at the cop and asked him, did he know what he was doing? And the cop acknowledged him. He acknowledged him. He knew the guy knew what he was talking about. And every time he did it on the video, when Mr. Williams said, see, he's doing it again, applying that pressure, cutting off the air, purposefully cutting off the air to his lungs, killing George Floyd. The death penalty should be his, and anyone else that contrives that kind of a thing, that is horrible, horrible. And those kinds of horrible things have been happening ever since I've been on the planet. It bothers me now, as a senior, I feel for young people that haven't lived half as long as I have, and for them to have to die in that way. I just think it's horrible. But I know that God will give justice. I never thought that I'd hear myself say something like this, but that cop needs to die. He needs to be executed by his peers for consciously working against the law to protect and to serve the citizenry of the country that he dwells in the country that fed him, fed his family, fed his friends. And to see something like that is horrible, horrible. I watched it, and there was a young man watching it with me, and we both just started to cry when we saw it. We're grown men, because that man's life was cut off by a murderer wearing a badge and a gun. And you know what? I don't care if he were black. To take a person's life, to cut off life from that person in such a cruel way, without any thought of stopping, purposefully hearing the man call on his deceased mother and saying everything that hurts on his body before he slips off into a world of peace. Horrible. I'm 77 years old. George Floyd, young man, strong, powerful, large brother, full of life. Horrible. I'm left speechless. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening to an old man. Thank you for loving God enough to ask God's mercy on every family that has suffered the loss of a loved one through the blatant, manifested racism of a stupid-ass person who doesn't deserve to live amongst us human beings. And the same thing goes for those cops that are shooting down those people in Malaysia. Where's that, Miramar? Shooting the innocent down. We are living on a fallen planet. I got a call yesterday. Wait a minute, I can't stop this. I got a call. Someone was asking me about Nas, the gay rap singer that did this video. A preacher friend of mine called and asked me what my thoughts was. I said, man, that's rabid homosexuality. This is what I tell people, and so that they can understand. I think that anything that happens sexually between a man and a woman, grown people, not talking about children, try to protect your children as long as you can. But when you buy them these phones and you give them all this technology, and trust me, 9-year-old kid knows how to work that phone better than I do. But when you give them that technology, they're going to use it the way they want to use it. Now, about the Nas video, I watched it. I didn't understand most of the lyrics because I was so taken back by what I saw. And the first thing that I thought was, no, they ought not show this because minors and children, the ones that don't have parental guidance, are grown people that should give an individual an opportunity to grow up and to be fashioned into a lifestyle that they choose instead of allowing the music industry to choose it for them. I think that's the biggest fault of the music industry. They have decided what to put out there and what to glorify. Me personally, it has nothing to do with the younger generation. It's just that I don't need to hear someone bragging about their want for sex on a music video. Maybe I'm too old or just too decent. I think that there's a line that needs to be drawn in the sand. And I think that when we give our way over to a particular industry where they have now fashioned the design of our young people, then I think you need to listen to old school, because damn it, you lost your mind. At least give the young child an opportunity to know what decency looks like. And please don't get me wrong, because I'm not talking about some kind of church lily-livered person that never uses the word damn or hell. I'm not talking about that, because that's impractical. I use more rough language in my older years than I did in my younger years, because I'm just going to tell the truth. When you talk to them in plain, simple English and you're trying to be proper and everything, they're not taking you serious. You have to know that. We live in a different world, a changing world, and this world has been given over to a new order. They do things differently in the world that we live in, far differently. They think differently. Anybody can get a microphone and talk. And so what I'm doing is not unique, because everybody's talking and everybody has an opinion. But I do know this. I do believe it. I can't prove it to you. I cannot prove it. The only thing that I can say is that I believe that there is a divine entity. We know this divine entity as God, Yahweh, Jehovah. In Islam, it's Allah, the Beloved. There will be a judgment day. And now, I don't know what it's going to consist of and how it's going to look. I'm not into no Dante's hell. Because I don't know where the place is and what keeps it burning. And I've read in many, many holy books. And what's interesting about men and their religion is that all of them have a punishing thing for people. Listen. Where's that book at? I was looking at it. Oh, and I said that I was going to keep it handy. Excuse me for turning away. I'm looking for something in my library because I wanted to quote it to you. And I can't find it. I am terrible. I can't find it right now. But I'll try to have it for you. And I want to share more things out of this book. It's a little book on the teachings of Islam. And you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do a webcast where I just read some of these teachings from Islam and then ask the believers in the same God in Christianity, do you agree with what this Islamic writer has said? Because I was sharing it with a few people that I know, and I said, what is this? And they said, oh, well, that's someone's writing about the Christian God. I said, no, this is from Islam. And it would do well for many of these evangelicals and these people that hate people. Man, I don't know who pleases God and who displeases God. The only person that I know that I can actually give an account to is me. I can't judge anybody. I can't take the judgment off of anyone. I don't know how to do that. I can only judge myself. I was looking at the news clip, and an attorney because he hears an Hispanic person speaking to some customers in a fast food restaurant in Spanish. He attacks the employee and said, "This is my country. You would talk English and this and that." And what they did is they sent a mariachi band to his apartment. He got kicked out of the office space where he was doing his attorney work. And all of Manhattan is blasting him. And indeed, they ought to. This is the United States of America. And that's what I like about these young people. I'm just going to tell you, they're not going to put up with the bullshit that the people in my generation spew out. And that's good. I like it. I like it. People are starting to use guts. Well, I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to, 21 minutes. I did not have, I didn't know that I was going to talk this long. Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming to my website. I'm sorry for the language that I use sometimes. I really am, because some of you are used to, aren't you a pastor? Aren't you a Christian? I'm tired of it, people. And you know what? God has given me a brain, and I don't think that I'm talking rowdy or bad or wrong. You understand my tension. I'm tired of it. And don't tell me to go somewhere and get in a corner and pray. Wait a minute, you won't believe this. I was watching some old movies in my living room this afternoon. I mean, you know, it's COVID. I just had lunch, and I'd exercise a little bit, and I'm watching a movie. While the blinds are open, I see three police officers running up with their guns drawn on my front porch. On the lawn on my front porch, saying, "Freeze. Don't move or I'll shoot." I immediately jump up. I ran to the front door and I looked out and I said, "Oh, I hope it's not a black man." They had about 5 or 6 Inglewood police officers. I live in Los Angeles, so they had crossed over the border. And I didn't have the know-it-all to get my phone to film it. I was just glad to see that. When they lifted the young kid up, it couldn't have been a kid over 16, 17 years old, Hispanic. One motorcycle cop, 3 or 4 squad cars, Inglewood PD, heavily armed, guns drawn with the intent to shoot. Yeah, in my neighborhood, that's where I live. And you know what? I'm going to keep my phone on the ready as well as my pistol, because things are rough and they're getting rougher and rougher and rougher, if you get my drift. But I enjoy taking this time speaking with you. Maybe I'll come back soon and play a little music. I hope y'all are doing all right. All right, 23 minutes. That's it. Go back to doing what you do. Love you much. Take care.